This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org, and I'm joined by my co-host, Advisory Neighborhood Commissioner Tony Norman, who's chairman of the board of Pacifica Radio's WPFW. Welcome, Tony Norman.
Glad to be here.
We're also joined in studio by Negede Abebe, who is chairman of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Welcome, Negede.
Thank you.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about tonight, particularly in light of the DC Council having passed legislation Tuesday that will overhaul DC's taxicab industry. And we're going to get into the details of that bill as we go along. Tony Norman, if you would begin by commenting generally on the bill, as well as on some of the amendments that were made to it, which are not insignificant. The Small Business Association of DC Taxicab Drivers was able to secure some major changes to this legislation.
Yeah, well, actually, the process was very disturbing, but we got a small amount of something. I mean, one of the amendments changed the requirement for handicaps to, instead of cab drivers, to association. That it's not a requirement that associations have to meet the 10% handicap accessibility. And another thing is they decided not to regulate Uber, which is another disturbing process. But the whole bill itself is extremely disturbing, just the way the process it went through. The council members, if you listen to some of the debates, the council members were clearly uninformed, and some of them were even confused about what was going on. And then they turned around and passed an emergency legislation to try to ratify this contract that was out of place, unprepared, and ill-advised. So it was a very botched way of proceeding to do business, and that's very, very disturbing. And that just tells the drivers that we still need to fight this thing, because when you listen to some of the clips today, and if anyone were down at the hearing, they were many council persons that were very much misinformed, uninformed, including the chairman herself, about certain items in the bill, certain particulars, particularly in regards. First, they said the drivers didn't have to pay any money to install these new meters. Then they amended the bill saying that we found some money and you don't have to pay. But wait a minute, you may have to pay $200 or $100 or $200 for the light on the top of the cab. So it is, and then how the meter is going to work, all of that way, we're totally confused, totally ill-prepared, which shows you this is a bill that should have been pulled and it should have had an open hearing on some of the things they added was never discussed by the public, and the public never had an opportunity to discuss.
Negede Abebe, talk about this bill. You had protests that the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers held on Monday and Tuesday prior to the bill. Talk about the bill, as well as some of the gains that were made by the Small Business Association of some significant changes.
Thank you. As we discussed the same bill 3 weeks ago, this bill contained a lot of provisions that negatively impact the driver. And the Small Business Association board sit down and debated and design a strategy how to pull it back, this bill, or stop it, or if not, how to get some amendments on major issues that negatively impact the driver. We were able to get some amendments on some of the issues that we believe will negatively impact the driver. And among these issues or provisions we get amendment was criminalizing the driver. This include the 180 days or 1,000 fine for assaulting the HAC inspector that has been removed. The other is injuring a HAC inspector, which will result in 5 or 10 years imprisonment and 10,000 fine that has been removed. Fleeing from HAC inspector after stopping by HAC inspector, that has a fine of $1,000 or 180 days imprisonment. All this criminalizing the drivers has been removed, successfully removed. The other second major issue is the 10% wheelchair accessory requirement, which we try to convince and debated and compromised with the council members to reduce that number to 2%, but we are not able to. But we are able to exempt the association because associations are a gathering of independent owner-operators and there is no rental or owned by those associations. So that requirement was lifted. The other major issue is a tracking device. We were asking the council member to remove that requirement totally, if not to mandate a non-government agency to monitor and store that data. If that was not happening, they were not accepting that requirement, that amendment. But finally, we were able to successfully achieve that. The DCTC will not able to track the driver in real time, whether on duty, off duty, or cruising throughout the city. But that tracking will be happen while the drivers have a passenger in their cab, and that information will be stored in a unified communication office, and the DCTC will get that information after 24 hours, unless it is an emergency issue that will go to 911 or 311 calls. The other major issue we are able to remove is the lettering, the rent control. We believe that this will impact the small companies, and we believe that the government should intervene in determining rental vehicles rent price. So we were able to successfully remove that requirement also. And the last one was the lottering. As you all know, on the bill, it was stated that if a driver unreasonably slowed down or stopped, it was considered to be a lottering, and that will result in, if you accumulate 5 points on it, to revoke your license. But the wording was changed there, and we were able to get the driver, if the driver substantially driving below the speed limit, that will be considered as a lottering. And the other is the sedan system, where we demand the city council regulate the sedan system. But at the moment, until a hearing will be heard in the future, that the minimum drop rate of the sedan system and will be 5 times the drop rate of the taxi cab, and the mileage rate should be much higher than the mileage rate of the taxi cab. But this amendment was agreed with the Merice and some council member, but it was unfortunate. Council member Jack Evan, I believe, well against it and introduced another amendment to it. So that was passed that for the moment, until a hearing will be conducted in September, the sedan system will be unregulated and they will function as usual. So these are the major issues we were able to achieve in compromising this bill. Thank you.
And talk about what you weren't able to get changed. What exactly, what do you find problematic about this bill? It's going to install Verifone meters, smart meters, so-called, in every cab. They're going to play ads. Drivers will see none of that ad revenue, even though they're playing in drivers' own cars. It's going to have tracking devices, as you're saying. The tracking will not be in real time, but will be withheld from the Taxi Cab Commission for 24 hours and will be anonymous. That was part of the amendments that the SBA pushed for and that Councilmember Tommy Wells got approved. So the data will be 24 hours later and anonymous. But talk about some of the things that you find most problematic with this bill.
Well, the problem is, in the first place, we ask the government not to prescribe us to buy from one vendor. We believe that the government has to set standard and requirement and leave alone the driver to purchase the credit card machine from any vendor that meet that requirement and standard. But they don't want to do that. We don't know why. They are pushing us, as they did during the meter installation time, to buy from one vendor, which they handpicked by the government. And above all, they will have an ad playing the whole day at the back of the driver, and that ad generates a revenue, and the driver has no share in that revenue, and that money will be collected by the government and by the Verifone. So these are so much troubling, and we don't know how much Verifone. They told us Verifone will provide us this equipment for free. But later on, they said there is an installation fee, and which amount between $200 up to $500. We don't know. Later on, we don't know how much that will cost the driver.
Now they're saying there's going to be no installation fee, but then drivers will have to pay for a dome light, which will cost between $100 and $150.
Yeah, they change it every day, but you know, we'll know the reality, or we'll know there are so many unknowns in this bill, so many unknowns, and we are not sure 100% what will happen tomorrow when we start installing this meter.
That's Ngede Abebe, who's chairman of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, joining us in studio. This is the Taxi Link. I'm Pete Tucker with the fightback.org, and joined by my co-host Tony Norman, an ANC commissioner. And Ngede was making the point that you were making, that there are a lot of unknowns here.
Yeah, and as an attorney, there's some very troubling legal issues here, particularly when the chairman of the council, during the public hearing aspect, when they opened this up for public hearing, saying taxicab drivers will not have to pay their own money. And in Linton, the commission said taxicab drivers will not have to pay any of their own money. Chairman of the commission of the hearing, Mary Chase, said taxicab drivers will not have to pay. All of this was throughout the public hearing. And now they change this once it gets to become legislation. Now the taxicab drivers may have to pay something. This is something that should have been brought out and hatched out, and they should have known at the time you had a public hearing. So therefore, many drivers didn't have an opportunity to weigh in on that, how that economic impact would threaten them. So that's a question that needs to be reviewed. Another thing is, essentially, like some of the drivers have recognized, they're going to turn your private car vehicle into basically a public vehicle that you can use and be forced to listen to these advertisements, and you're not going to get any of the revenue. The district is going to get the revenue, and the company is going to get the revenue. So these are very troubling, very, very troubling legal issues. Another troubling legal issue is the contract itself. That was not the best contract. There's a question of whether or not it was properly bid or whether or not the district is getting a fair deal. In fact, I think I understand it might even be challenged by some of the bidders that went in the contract, because the district won't even get a good amount of money of it from some of the other bids that were submitted. Another thing is, I don't think these people, the chairman and the mayor and the commission, know exactly what this meter is going to look like and how it's going to function. They don't know what the cost is really going to be. I understand they may have to take the seat out of the cabs and do a whole new installation to make these type of meters work. That's a major cost that they have not projected, and they're going to try to pass that on to the driver. So there's some very, very disturbing. And another thing is, they decided not to regulate Uber, all at the last minute. Many of the council members never even heard of this company. But I had an opportunity to speak with the chairman of the council about that. He said he received 5,000 emails on the day of this particular hearing saying that Uber should not be regulated. Many of the city council members responded to that. And that just shows you how at the last minute, how a certain group can get priority. Taxicab drivers have been lobbying these council members for almost 6 months to a year about this legislation. And now all of a sudden, Uber comes out of the blue on the day of the hearing, sending emails that causes these council members to be swayed. So the public hearing means absolutely nothing. They just listened to this company to have a vested interest that decided we don't want to be regulated. And all of a sudden, they put all these onerous regulation on independent taxicab drivers. This is no way to do business. There's some very, very troubling legal issues here. This is not the way you run a legislative train.
That's Tony Norman, an ANC commissioner in Ward 1 by Howard University and chair of WPFW's local station board. We're also speaking with Ngede Abebe, who is chairman of the Small Business Association of DC Taxicab Drivers. And we'll be hearing more from both Tony and Ngede later in the program. Tuesday, in an 11-1 vote, the D.C. Council approved the Taxicab Service Improvement Act of 2012, which was introduced by Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che. Ahead of Tuesday's vote, hundreds of drivers attended the Small Business Association's back-to-back protests Monday and Tuesday at Freedom Plaza outside the John A. Wilson Building. Haimanat Biziwayihu, board member of the Small Business Association, addressed his fellow drivers on Monday.
When you talk to your passengers, tell them that we are not against improvement. tell them that we are in the 21st century and we understand the requirement of or the needs that the public, the passengers have with the credit card system. Tell them that we need a cleaner vehicle also. Tell them that we are not public employees. We are independent owner operators of our own business. But DCTC want to track our movement, our passenger movement, 24 hours a day. We are human beings, we are citizens, and we have right to our privacy. Tell them that. That is why we are here to oppose. We are not opposing improvement. We are not, I'll repeat, we are not opposing modernization of our industry. Please, you have to communicate with all passengers.
That was Haimanot Biziwayihu, board member of the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. Also speaking at Monday's protest was Negede Abebe, who questioned the government's efforts to both place a tracking device in taxis as well as to allow sedans to operate without regulation.
We are a free business person. Do they spy on the restaurants? No, they don't. Do they spy on the coffee shops? No. Do they spy on the hotel industry? No. Do they spy or do they have any tracking device on restaurants? No, they don't have. Why on us? Why? So please, let us be clear that we oppose the tracking devices to control, monitor us. Secondly, they introduced the sedan system. A black car, free to pick up anybody in the city and charge any rate they want. They control our rate, they control our movement, they do anything, any measure that control us, that suppress us, and violate our privacy, but they allow similar businessmen to come into the city without any regulation on them. We believe and we know that this is a free enterprise system. We know that the system is built on the best of the best will survive in the marketplace. We believe on that. We have no problem. What we demand from them is let the playing field be level. Let the playing field be level. Let the sedan system has at least the drop rate is fixed or regulated, their mileage, minimum mileage rate is fixed and regulated so that they don't compete or undercut us in the marketplace.
That was Negede Abebe, chairman of the Small Business Association. He joins us in studio and he was speaking at Monday's rally outside at Freedom Plaza across from the DC Council. The legislation approved Tuesday mandates that all taxis install a new meter made by Verifone, the company which the city is signing a 5-year, $35 million contract with. The new meters will have credit card readers, GPS tracking, as well as ads that play all day long, but drivers won't see any of the ad revenue, which will instead be captured by Verifone and the Taxi Cab Commission. Mary Che's bill also provides that the Taxi Cab Commission has data collect data on drivers who will have to fill out an electronic manifest and can be tracked by the GPS device that will be on their new meters. But the Small Business Association was successful in lobbying to ensure that the GPS device is only turned on when there's a passenger, and what's more, the data is not to be transmitted in real time to the commission, but instead is to be withheld for 24 hours and then sent anonymously. Che's bill initially mandated that all companies have 5% and then 10%, it was bumped up to then 10% of their fleet be wheelchair accessible, a provision which could have driven a number of smaller companies out of business since a new wheelchair accessible cab costs around $40,000. However, the Small Business Association successfully pushed back on this requirement by getting Che's legislation to recognize the difference between cab companies, which may be owned by just a few individuals, and associations, which are collectively owned by independent taxi cab operators. The 10% handicap requirement will not apply to associations. And while Che attempted to regulate sedan services like Uber in her bill, that ultimately failed, and the sedan companies will be able to continue operating without regulation, at least until the end of the year. But Che committed to holding hearings on Uber this fall. Here is Councilmember Che's opening remarks Tuesday before the second and final vote of her taxi overhaul legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill was introduced by myself and Councilmember Wells on December 20th, 2011. We had a hearing on January 30th, 2012. May 17th, the committee voted to approve the bill 5-0, and the council voted 9-4 at its June 5th legislative meeting to approve the bill. As we all know, the taxicab industry is an essential part of the district's transportation network. Taxicabs and limousines are vital to the tourist, hospitality, and business environment in the city. They provide transportation to thousands of residents every day and provide a public face for the city to millions of visitors every year. We're a world-class city, and the aim of this bill ultimately is to establish a world-class taxi industry. The committee heard many complaints about the service provided by the industry to its passengers. It's been plagued by longstanding public criticism related to performance, lack standards, lack of amenities that we see in other cities, credit cards, for example, absence of professionalism, areas that are underserved, taxi cabs that are not fuel efficient or wheelchair accessible, and the experience of many has led them to conclude, and this was confirmed by a survey that I conducted of residents. More than 4,000 responses were received. 78% believed taxicab service in the district was fair or poor. 69% believed that taxicab service in the district was worse than other American cities. And 94% said that they wanted to see legislation to improve service. After many months of discussion with the Taxicab Commission, with the drivers, owners, consumer advocates, disability advocates, the hospitality industry, and Uber, the committee crafted a solution that we think will significantly improve taxicab service in the district, as well as the functioning of the commission.
That was Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che speaking at Tuesday's legislative meeting of the D.C. Council. Initially, drivers were told that the new meters the city is mandating would come at no cost to them. Then last week, at a press conference, Mayor Vincent Gray and Taxi Chair Ron Linton announced that drivers would have to pay between $300 and $500 for the installation. After Monday and Tuesday's protests, however, Che announced that the city had found money for the installation, but drivers would have to pay for a new uniform dome light at a cost estimated to be between $150 and $200.
I also want to share news, although it's not part of these amendments, but in talking about this, just so we know, the mayor is transmitting a reprogramming today that will cover the cost of installing the new meters for the taxi operators. And therefore, the only actual out-of-pocket cost to the drivers will be the cost, estimated to be $150 to $200, of purchasing a uniform dome light sometime within the next year.
The universal dome light is among the issues to be discussed by the Taxi Cab Commission at their meeting this coming Wednesday at 10 a.m. in the Old Council Chamber at 1 Judiciary Square. Also on the agenda for Wednesday's meeting is the Consumer Service Fund with the passenger surcharge. Again, the next meeting of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission takes place this Wednesday at 10 a.m. in the Old Council Chambers at 1 Judiciary Square at 441 4th Street. Tuesday, Councilmember Mary Che also discussed how her legislation will require an on-duty taxi without passengers to stop for a person in a wheelchair attempting to hail a taxi. Che said if the taxi cab cannot transport the person in the wheelchair, the driver would be required to contact the dispatch service if it is affiliated with a company or association.
Number four, this section would clarify that an on-duty taxi cab without passengers is required to stop for a person in a wheelchair attempting to hail a taxi. If the taxi cab cannot transport the person in a wheelchair, the driver would be required to contact a dispatch service if it is affiliated with a company or association.
Councilmember Mary Che also discussed her desire to move to a taxi cab fleet that is 100% wheelchair accessible.
Among the things that should be looked at in terms of this body and its recommendations is the means by which the district can achieve a fleet of 100% wheelchair accessible taxi cabs.
That was Councilmember Mary Che discussing her bill Tuesday before the final vote on her taxi overhaul bill. Ward 6 Councilmember Tommy Wells offered an amendment to Che's bill that makes the data the Taxicab Commission collects from the GPS tracking devices anonymous.
I'd like to propose an amendment that I hope Councilmember Che will take as friendly. I understand that many taxi drivers have concerns about privacy related to GPS systems. They're concerned about their own privacy and that of their customers. However, I'm also advised that we may be able to overcome these concerns by making the data anonymous. Real-time information on taxi location availability has the potential to be invaluable to customers, particularly if the universe of creative phone app developers have access to such data. I'd like to amend the bill to require that the Taxi Cab Commission provide an assessment to the Council in 60 days of the effective date of this act regarding the feasibility of making data collected from taxi GPS system publicly available and anonymous in an anonymous format for the purpose of developing software tools that may be useful to taxi customers.
That was Ward 6 Council Member Tommy Wells. Another major issue discussed Tuesday was sedan services like Uber, which are presently unregulated and will continue to be so at least through the end of the year. Along with Ward 2 Councilmember Jack Evans, at-large Councilmember David Catania proved to be among Uber's biggest cheerleaders. Catania went out of his way to put down taxi drivers and also admitted that he's uncomfortable at night in certain parts of the city which he represents as an at-large member.
Uber is an exciting new service that is offered to the residents of our city. It is one that I have used, and I believe that it is one that will be increasingly used. Mr. Chairman, we should be embracing more of this mobility technology and not less of the technology. Ms. Alexander mentioned the service has been demonstrated its willingness to go east of the river. It offers a lot of elements and a lot of competition that I think, candidly, the taxi industry would be wise to embrace. If regulation meant high-quality service at a good value, then the District of Columbia would have the best taxi service in the nation. Because certainly no one beats us when it comes to regulation. Now, naturally, the chairman of the Taxi Cab Commission would like to have authority over everything to do with Uber, and that's why I suspect he is present here today. But I suspect if we did a better job of regulating our taxi industry, if they provided a good product at a good price, they would have nothing to fear from Uber. The fact that people are willing to pay more for Uber demonstrates something. When you call Uber on your phone, they are there within minutes. You rate them, and they rate you. You actually rate the driver. Was the car clean? Was it air-conditioned? Was there a proper accommodation made for you? And actually, the driver gets to rate you. Were you a pleasant customer, et cetera, et cetera. Imagine that, the last time you stepped into a district taxi. Now, I don't want to malign all of our taxi drivers. We have some very good ones. But the fact of the matter is there's incomparability when you talk about the service that you get with Uber and the service you get with a garden variety taxi. Now, why in the world would we want to deprive our residents of a service that they are clamoring for? What is the purpose behind killing Uber? If so many of our residents are embracing it, you know, I used it just last week, late at night after the 4th of July. You know, I was in a community where I wasn't, to be perfectly honest, very comfortable standing out front waiting for the possibility that a cab might drop by. I just wasn't. You use the service, the car comes to you and drops you off at your house for a good price, a good product. Why would we want to deprive our residents of that opportunity?
That was at-large Councilmember David Catania, former Republican turned independent. Unlike Catania, Ward 1 Councilmember Jim Graham expressed concern about sedan services like Uber being allowed to operate without regulation while taxi cabs face now even greater regulations.
What we have in the bill is regulation of sedans. We need regulation of sedans. You know, we have limousines regulated, we have taxi cab regulated. We're right now toughening the regulations on taxi cabs. And to some extent on limousines. And so why are we taking this other segment of the industry and saying, you have no regulation at all?
In addition to Graham, several other council members, including Ward 7 Councilmember Yvette Alexander, commented on Uber.
You know, I was one of those, Councilmember Graham, that did not know what Uber was, and I'm learning now what it is. So, Councilmember Che, I am leaning towards supporting your measure to take everything out so that we can all get a full understanding, and they do need some regulation because they are acting as a taxi limo in a sense. So I will definitely support you. There is one point that I want to note, what a lot of persons have told me who use Uber, and this is something for the taxi industry to listen to. Uber does come east of the river without hesitation. When someone calls Uber, they are there. And we have some limited service East River when it comes to taxi service. So for that portion, you know, for that fact that Uber does come out, then I really do support them, and I do want to support them in this industry. For the taxi cab industry that is in this chamber, you need to really take note to what Uber is doing, because they have no hesitation going East River. I do feel they need regulation, and I do feel they deserve a full hearing on this matter.
That was Ward 7 Councilmember Yvette Alexander. Another controversial issue discussed during Tuesday's taxi legislation debate was the contract with Verifone, which required separate emergency legislation. At-large Councilmember Vincent Orange questioned Che about her emergency legislation, which was submitted at the request of Mayor Gray.
Can you please talk a little bit about the contract? Because isn't this a little unusual that we're doing a declaration and everything else on here that deals with a contract, states that it's a contract, and we talk about the contract? Can we talk a little bit about this contract?
Sure, but I would say that all of you have a copy and have been given a copy, and there was a big press conference and a lot of coverage about the contract. But nevertheless, the contract amount is $34,931,000. It's a five-year contract. It has three option years. Verifone will provide this new smart meter system. It has a unique login for each taxi cab driver. The identity is authenticated either through a PIN or barcode scanning of the driver credential. There's an electronic digital photo of the taxi cab driver that appears on the passenger monitor. There's an electronic trip sheet data collection, an electronic manifest. There's GPS. There's credit, debit card acceptance, and printing of receipts. It will accept all major credit and debit cards. The passenger information monitor will have programming. It'll have a touch screen, again, displaying the driver's name, photo, hack license number. There'll be an interactive route map so you can see how you're going. The passenger can turn off or mute the monitor. The driver will have a GPS navigation system with route guidance in case the driver doesn't know where he or she's going. There's an ability to send and receive text messages. Drivers can pre-select responses by pressing a single button. The district can communicate with taxis in the event of an emergency. There'll be driver-passenger alert buttons. The driver is a contact with MPD. The passenger is simply to a hack inspector, which then, if necessary, could be forwarded to MPD. There will be advertisement management. The Verifone systems will be entitled to all revenue generated through advertisements in the first 2 years. After that, the district will get 10% of the net advertisement revenues, and then 20% in year 4 and 5. Verifone is going to install the...
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, before my time runs out, let me ask my other two questions.
I'm sorry, because there's a lot in there. I don't know what you want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very good information, especially for those of you at home to hear what this contract is about. Mm-hmm. Another quick question is, was this contract competitively bidded?
Yes, it was, and there were 8 bidders.
Okay, and the vendor that won this contract, are they D.C.-based? Are they subject to D.C. taxation?
I don't know the answer to that question. They're from California, I'm being told.
That was Vincent Orange questioning Mary Che about the Verifone contract and the emergency legislation. Jim Graham also questioned Che about the contract, and in particular the use of emergency legislation to push it through.
So the mayor has submitted not a typical contract resolution which would lay before us for a period of days. He has chosen not to do that, but he has instead chosen to submit an emergency legislation declaration and bill.
Yes.
And so, just to be absolutely clear, so this emergency is word for word what has come from the mayor, as opposed to something that has been developed within your committee, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was Jim Graham questioning Mary Che. At-large Councilmember Michael Brown also questioned Che, but only to express interest in the PSA that drivers will have to hear each time a passenger gets in the car. Brown wants to see a statehood message played.
This little technology is on the screen, and it has messages and the like.
Yes.
The screen in the back. Was there any discussion given to having kind of a welcome to D.C. statehood kind of message on that?
Oh,
like they
be,
like they do in other jurisdictions, New York, for
yes,
example.
Yes, for sure, and it can be programmed to do that. Mm-hmm.
What do we do to ask them to do that?
There's a 20-second PSA opportunity, and so it's the first thing that rolls.
Oh, great. That's exactly what I was talking about.
I think it has your name on it. No, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Councilmember Che. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That was Michael Brown and Mary Che joking about the message that drivers will have to hear every time a passenger gets in their car. This is the Taxi Link here on WST 1120 AM, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org, joined by my co-host, ANC Commissioner Tony Norman, chairman of WPFW's local station board, and joined in studio by Negede Abebe, who is chairman of the Small Business Association. I'm going to give out a couple numbers, so if you want to get ready to write them down, please feel free. First up, if you want to join the conversation, and we're going to be continuing talking with Negede as well as with Tony, the number to call into the show is 703-534-9878, and I'm going to give that number out again. Again, that's the number to call into the program. You can dial 703-534-9878. 9878. And then directly following the program, there's the Small Business Association hosts a weekly Amharic phone conference. So for those drivers who speak Amharic, the conversation continues and goes from 8:30 p.m., so directly following the show, till 10 p.m. And you can call in and join that conversation by dialing the following number, which I'll give out twice, 712-432-3100. Again, that's 712-432-3100. And then you have to enter a code, and that code is 140465. Again, that code is 140465. I want to get, maybe we can continue, Tony and Negede, talking about this Verifone contract and some of the concerns that have been raised, some of the council members raising concerns on the use of emergency legislation to push it through.
Yeah, that's very disturbing. Under the law, a contract, the city council has to approve any contract over $1 million. And the process of that is they have a public hearing on that. The public comes in and comment, and the council members have an opportunity to review this contract. By passing it on an emergency basis, as you can hear, many of the council members don't know what's in this contract. This is a very troubling contract. At the very least, the public, we should demand that this contract come back to the public and there be a public hearing on it. No one knows the details of this contract, how it's going to be executed. You listen to Mary Chase spout off all the things that are going to happen. That's a wish list. That's a fantasy that she's hoping will happen. Nobody knows how that's going to happen. She's popping off a list that I think Graham pointed out that she was reading verbatim from the mayor that's telling her. And where's the mayor getting this? He's getting it from the lobbying firm or from Linton, and Linton has already stated he's no friend to taxicab drivers. He don't even want them on the commission, and he's no expert on the taxicab industry. So where is he getting this information? This information is coming from the monopolistic industry that's coming straight to Linton, straight to the mayor, who is then forwarding it to Che, who is popping off and reading a narrative that she herself does not understand. This is a very, very troubling situation. That's because you can listen to the council members. They are uneducated on this issue of this contract and what's going on with this industry. They are very much uneducated to what the information is. They don't even know what's in the contract. The public process requires a public hearing on the contract. They never had that. That's why they are slipping it, which is underhanded, to emergency legislation. Once they do emergency legislation, that doesn't even go before Congress. So at the very least, if they want to expose it to the public, they need to come back and have a public hearing on this once the so-called emergency is over. And I don't even know what the emergency is, why they have to slip it through at the last minute.
It was kind of surprising to hear at-large Councilmember Vincent Orange ask for the details of the bill and to hear Mary Che go through it. And I wonder how many other council members actually knew it. But there's a lot of major issues in that emergency legislation. You have any comment, Negede Abebe?
Yeah, you know, there are so many, as I said, so many unknowns on the contract, on the intention of this bill, because we believe that the driver and all taxi cab companies would like to provide a credit card system. And we have different a system in our cab, and we are willing to provide that service for the public. But we don't know why they go and choose this route to use this kind of emergency contract to bid, and for what purpose that contract, the information that they collect through this contract, for what purpose they're going to use it. It is so many unknowns there, and we are really troubled how they handle this, because as most of the council members on the hearing were asking, and they are not even educated, and they don't know about the detail of that contract, and we were surprised about that.
Tony Norman.
And one other thing I want to say, and who's going to monitor all this to make sure all these things happen? The bottom line is they want the taxicab commission to monitor this. This is a taxicab mission that the chairman, Mary Chake, admitted herself is broken and not functioning. They haven't had the proper oversight to make sure that this commission is functioning properly. There is a lawsuit that is questioning the operation, the illegal operation of this commission. We don't even know how they managed the funds that they had that they managed to deplete. So this is the commission they're giving the authority to manage and have oversight over this, headed by Ron Linton, once again, the Linton that has no concern, no empathy for taxicab drivers, who doesn't even want taxicab drivers on the commission. Who is going to monitor this? This is the wild, wild west. And then they're going to add insult to injury by saying a certain industry is not going to be regulated. They're fine. But we know what this is all about. Who does that industry serve? You can get a lot of discrimination in that. I mean, Yvette Alexander said they come over to Ward 8. I doubt very seriously if that happens, because they can adjust their prices. If they don't want a certain community to come, they just increase the prices, and that community is not going to call them. So if they're going to Ward 8 and 7, we know who they are servicing in Ward 7 and 8. So that's why they want to be unregulated. This is an intolerable situation. It must be stopped, and something has to be done about it.
One question that I had, and next is Wednesday's next Taxicab Commission meeting, that's 10 a.m. at the Old Council Chambers at 441 4th Street Northwest. On the agenda is the Consumer Service Fund with passenger surcharge, and maybe there's an explanation, but you have all these cabs that are now going to be soon charging a 50-cent surcharge, possibly as much as a 50-cent surcharge per ride. And you have a taxicab commission that, as Tony has pointed out, is a very troubled agency. So I'm curious to know how they're going to collect all this money when they're, I don't know, is there a system in place to be able to do that?
I don't think they start collecting that surcharge right away until they install these meters, this digital meter and tracking devices, because that's their Verifone. This is my understanding. Verifone, after they install that device, Verifone will track each and every pickup by each cab driver and charge that 50 cents and collect that 50 cents from the drivers, because when the passenger uses his credit card, that money go directly to Verifone first, and Verifone deduct that 50 cents surcharge and then deposit the rest of the money to the driver, and at the same time notify the taxicab commission how many pickups were made and how many surcharge they were collected. So this is how they're going to, this is what I'm assuming, this is what is going to happen. But this is very important. The other issue, the other major issue here is the tracking. You know, the taxicab commission is not only getting and information on how many surcharge they get or charge it, but how many people were picked, how many passengers were booked from which point of pickup, which to what destination they were traveled, how many miles. There are so many information they are going to collect, and we don't know for what purpose they're going to use that information later on. That is the most troubling part of this bill and this tracking devices. We don't know for what purpose they're going to use that information and what kind of information they collect. This is, look, SBA was not against the technology and not against the improvement of the industry. We were welcome to provide the credit card system. We are welcome to provide the dispatch system. But we don't know, and we don't know why the government secretly collect all this information and for what purpose they're going to use it. And we recommend, if not stopping tracking the driver, okay, if you track, if you collect information, that information will be stored and handled by a non-government agency. And whenever DCTC or DC government need that information for public policy purposes, will demand or request it for it and get it and use it for public policy purpose only, not to harm or hunt the driver or penalize the driver. So it is very troubling, issue there. Thank you.
Ngedi, we played earlier in the show your comments at the protest at Freedom Plaza from Monday, and you mentioned that restaurants aren't tracked, coffee shops aren't tracked, but DC taxi cab drivers are.
Yeah, this is, look, DC taxi cab drivers are an independent business person. They have a license, they are paying license fee and all the fees to the government. And they are business licensed to do or operate a taxi business in the city. And the coffee shop, the barbery shop, any small business, any kind of small business who use cash as a medium of transaction are not monitored, and there is no requirement for them to be monitored how much transaction they made, to whom they sell their coffee, or how many cups they sell. There is no control or there is no monitoring devices there. But we ask why the taxi cab driver? We are, as you all know, the taxi cab drivers are not an employee of the government. They are not getting any Medicare or any unemployment benefit, any 401k benefit from the government. All this information are not, we are not benefiting from the government anything, but they would like to track us as if we are an employee of DC government. And that's what is troubling us. We are a business person, an independent business person, like the coffee shop, the barbery shop, but at the same time, they would like to track us, and we are not getting, if they consider us a government employee, we are not getting any benefit from the government. No sick leave, no annual leave, no salary, no check, no unemployment benefit, nothing from the government. So this is really a conflicting intention, and we don't know why the government does that.
We have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to the Taxi Link. Welcome to the program.
I'm on air?
Yes, welcome, caller.
Okay. I'm just wondering, I heard a lot about the tracking device, but if anyone, did the kind of search or looking at other experience, other places like New York or some other places that they use the same equipment that now we're going to use. If anyone did a search, and please share with me. I just want to know.
Thank you so much. And Verifone, it was interesting. We played last week, and you can go to thefightback.org to hear last week's show, and we played some of the clips from the press conference that was held last week with Verifone and with the Mayor Gray and Taxi Chair Ron Linton. And the Verifone spokesperson mistakenly thought that he was in New York. And he said, I'm so glad to be working with NBC4 here in New York. Now, NBC will be the sole provider of content for these smart meters. Just to give an example, Verifone has a contract in New York, so that's why he thought he was in New York. Verifone has contracts in a lot of different places. So the answer to your question is yes, this equipment is in other places. And by the way, I spoke with the Verifone spokesperson afterwards, and Verifone shares revenue in other cities with other taxicab drivers when they pay for the installation of their meters. But Verifone will not be paying, but Verifone will not be sharing any revenue with drivers. And not only that, they won't even share any revenue with the Taxi Cab Commission for the first 2 years of the contract. Tony Norman?
I just wanted to quickly say that, to answer his question also, there hasn't been really a much study to compare whether or not even the equipment that they're operating in New York is going to be the same equipment that's going to use here in Washington, D.C. And another thing, if you listen to the council members, the chair of the city council, they don't know anything about this company. She didn't even know that this company was from California. I mean, they didn't make an attempt to get any Washington, D.C. companies, nor is there any minority firm involved with this contract, which the law requires that there be a minority firm here in D.C. to be involved in a major contract. They rushed this thing quickly so fast, they haven't even followed their own laws and regulations dealing with contracts. You can hear that by some of the council members on the dais.
That's the voice of Tony Norman, ANC commissioner, as well as an attorney who's been working with the Small Business Association, Negede Abebe.
The situation in New York and in Washington is quite different. In New York, the system is a medallion system, and all those medallions were under the control of a few companies. And drivers in New York has to sign in with their company to give their right to be monitored by the company or by these devices. But here in Washington, we are not signing with a company, or the majority, 95% of the drivers are independent owner operators. So we are by our own, and we are not controlled by any company. And I believe all those tracking information in New York go to the company, not to the government. So this is a difference. This is a difference between New York and Washington or Chicago. Thank you.
And also in New York, the ads have become so unpopular that Verifone plays, and I think they might even use one other company, that the Taxi and Limousine Commission in New York has been moving away from it most recently. They've just proved to be very unpopular. People don't like to listen to them on and off. And I imagine, as much as passengers may not like to listen to it, I can't imagine what the popularity or not of these screens is amongst drivers. In these last minutes that we have, Tony and Negede, I want to talk about the role of the media. I think that, as Tony pointed out, that the council members are largely uneducated on these issues. And I think to a significant extent, that's because the media does not get out all the information, certainly does not get out the voices of drivers. It seems with the contract for Uber getting so much attention because, as was mentioned, they have a clientele that is upper income, and therefore anything that affects them gets just an incredible amount of attention. But when drivers who are low income, who are struggling to survive, who are working too many hours and making too little money, no matter how much money, no matter how much they struggle, no matter how much abuse they may face from the hack inspectors, the taxi inspectors, that doesn't seem to register. So we have a media that is very desensitized to the suffering of the low income, acutely aware of what higher income people are going through. And this leads to council members and decisions at the legislative level that reflect that. Tony Norman, can you comment on this? And also, can you comment on your role as chairman of the board of Pacifica Radio's WPFW 89.3 FM?
It just goes to show you, and I think Councilmember Graham pointed it out, that he pointed out that she was reading word from word for the information that she got from the mayor, and the mayor was getting the information from the big lobbyist firm and Linton. That certainly didn't come from taxicab drivers or a poll that they got that information from. And the media is getting that from the same press release. That's obvious by reading the Washington Post and all these stories. When you watch the media, they take the press release coming out of TAC, like that ridiculous press release that Linton put out about taxicab drivers beating up passengers. You see how the press ran with that. That's because the major media is following each other. That's why we need independent media like WPFW. That's why we are involved in the taxicab issue. That's why we're exposing the taxicab industry. We don't take money from advertisement. We are answerable only to our stockholders, which are the listeners, the people who are members. That's why we strongly encourage taxicab drivers and others, and we're not ashamed to say that. We want taxicab drivers to become a member of WPFW. It's only $25 a year. You become a stakeholder in the station. Our general manager is committed to exposing these type of issues, and we're not ashamed to say that we're independent, and we're going to expose any issue that we have to expose. And if you listen to the media, they're following the same narrative, the same talking points. So somebody is emailing the same talking points all over the city. This Uber thing, once again, is just outrageous. Here it is. They want to put all this regulation on the taxicab driver. They want to know where the taxicab drivers, we need this information. We're going to monitor you. We need it for transportation purposes. But they're not going to be monitoring Uber. We don't know who these people are that's riding in Uber. We don't know who these drivers are that's riding in Uber. We don't know what they're charging. They can even change their rates. If I'm calling them, I'm over in Ward 8 and I want to get Uber, they're going to say, oh, it's going to be $25 a ride. So they're not going to pick me up. So this is an unregulated situation. And we know who they are going to cater to. We know who sent in all those emails. It's not you don't take a brain surgeon to figure out who's lobbying for this type of company. So that is an unfair situation that they're trying to give this company an excuse. And it's known in the law as arbitrary and capricious. Why did you decide not to regulate these people as opposed to regulating other people? It is discriminatory. And that needs to be looked at. That needs to even be legally challenged.
Directly after the show, Tony and myself will be joining Mekonnen Abel Siyum, who is a driver with Grand, Negede. Is with Grand as well, just until recently the chairman of Grand. He is the chairman of the Small Business Association. And Mekonnen, Tony, and myself will be at the gas station at 15th and U Streets Northwest collecting anyone that wants to come talk with us or become a member of WPFW 89.3 FM, which is serving the same function that we hope will serve that function that this program does, is to try to get the word out to drivers, to the broader public, about some of the things that drivers are going through. I wanted to turn to a clip of the first edition of something called Manager's Mailbox. WPFW General Manager John Hughes has implemented a program, and Tony and I joined him for the first edition, where he's just getting out some of the business matters, some of the things that are impacting the station. And he had some interesting words. Tesfa called up. He's a driver. And John Hughes had some very favorable comments towards drivers, who he has described as ambassadors to the station. We go now to that clip.
I do want to take a minute and on behalf of all of WPFW to recognize taxi cab drivers, Tony and Pete. Taxi cab drivers are a very, very special and unique community of supporters to this station. I've said during our fund drives from time to time when I'm on the air pitching, I make a direct appeal, and we do in turn get a response from taxi cab drivers. We are on their radios constantly. They are introducing us to many, many, many public of our publics and our citizenry and our visitors coming through D.C. And most especially, they demonstrate their support. They demonstrate their financial support to this station, Tony and Pete.
Yeah, I just want to quickly also say that in our last LSB pledge drive, when we raised funds, most of those funds, at least half of, I would say, either came from taxicab drivers. And even now, we have several taxicab drivers who want to contribute to the next pledge drive before it even starts. And they have contact me every day, so they are ready to contribute to the next pledge drive.
You get in the taxi cab and ask about WPFW, you're going to get a very, very fortifying narrative.
So they are excited. Endorsement. They are pumped up and they are ready to move, and we should concentrate on that because there is a serious bill that they're trying to rush through that really needs concern to be looked at.
Pete, you want to follow that up?
Just want to thank Tesfa for his ability to round up memberships for WPFW, and to say that this is an example of where WPFW can really stand out and has stood out in letting drivers' voices come through, because the coverage in the media has been very problematic, and drivers who are very hardworking and are in the low-income bracket are being required to do ever more things, and major changes are coming down, including as of yesterday, each cab by the end of the year will be playing NBC and have ads running in a back screen, and yet drivers won't see any of that ad revenue. So there's major money changing hands, and yet drivers seem to be left out, and their voices are, and this is critical, left out of the conversation, despite the fact that you do hear coverage of taxi cab issues, you just don't hear taxi cab drivers. So these are our ambassadors. They introduce this station to countless new listeners. They support the station, and I just think it's critical that we continue to bring their voices forward, because they've been very badly missing from the discussion and debate around issues that impact the whole city and their livelihoods. That's myself and Tony Norman as we join WPFW General Manager John Hughes on the airwaves of WPFW in just a few moments. When this show ends, we're going to be headed down to the gas station at 15th, and you will be there from 9 to 10:30 joining Mekonnen Abel Siyum, Negede Ebebe. We just have 1 minute left. If you can offer your final thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I'm advising the driver. There is no panic. We will we'll pursue all means to stop this bill, especially the tracking device and the Uber issue. We'll have a hearing on September on Uber. At the same time, the tracking device, still we don't believe on that. We are not a criminal. We don't need to be tracked in every minute, in every movement. So I will use all other means to stop this part of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Negede Abebe, Chairman of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. And thank you to my co-host, Tony Norman, ANC Commissioner, Chair of WPFW's Local Station Board. And thank you to Will Martin for helping to produce this show. He writes helps put together the DC Taxi Link, which you can read. He's with the SBA and has done a great job helping with this show. And to Mark Taylor, who's just the best engineer I know. So thank you. And this will be posted at thefightback.org. Tune in next week to the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, C Drivers, and just a little bit at 15th and U Streets Northwest.